Hey, Bachelor Masters coming at you. Just before recording, we were talking about sleep drugs. And I used to take Trazodone. You ever taken that one, Caitlin?
I have, and I stopped taking it because it gave me, like, such extreme dry mouth that I would wake up from the dry mouth.
Yeah.
No, it's just like it would literally wake me up and I'd be like, I'm dying. Why is my mouth so dry?
Yeah, that sounds about right. I would tweak out on it, man. That stuff was rough. Easy, are you ever taking any sleep drugs?
Never in my life. I'm serious.
No, you're lucky.
I'm not trying to... I know. Well, I mean, there's been times when I felt like I haven't gotten good sleep, but I don't know. You just power through.
Yeah, exactly.
That's my motto for life.
Yeah.
When I've had insomnia, I usually just take ZQL, which is just the... It's not NyQuil, which has the cold and flu medicine. It's just
because the sleep they stuff. Were realizing that people were taking cold medicine to sleep.
Yeah.
So they were good, like, this is a great
a good swig of ZQL, and I'm usually out if I have
that stuff insomnia. Does not make me pass out in the same way that, like, anytime a doctor is like, oh, this sometimes makes people drowsy, so you got to be careful about taking this medicine. I'm like, don't worry about it. Like, nothing makes me drowsy, not even
bring on the construction equipment.
Yeah, exactly. Like, no, I'll be totally fine, because it's like Benadryl does not make me sleepy or drowsy at all. It's like a normal thing for me. So yeah, stuff like that. I'm like, no, I need the hardcore sleep drugs to even approach sleep full times.
Yeah. All right, well, we have the second episode of the show called The Bachelorette, which we podcast about here on the Bachelor Masters podcast. Any first thoughts, my co-hosting team?
Sorry, you go ahead, Easier.
I know, I was going to say, Caitlin, you should be happy because Will or Willie or William or Bill, I don't know, they keep changing his name on me. Made fun of Peter in a very cute way, which I will play right now.
I looked over and he was heated. He was heated. His face was red as tomato sauce.
You know it was. I seen it.
You're so cute.
Loved that moment for so many reasons. We're like, Will talking about it is adorable. He's so psyched that he got to Peter. With yes. this move, which was that it was during the group date, the classroom group date, and the little kids asked them to spell narcissist, and he wrote Peter on his card, and which is very clever, honestly. Great move.
Yeah, very clever.
Listen,
what's going on here? Is there like some conspiracy going on with you two where like we're all Team Will now?
No, we hate Peter.
What? Why wouldn't you like this man? This is the first time I've ever seen anything.
You guys are acting like, oh yeah, our pal Will. Yeah, he's so great. When have we ever talked about Will before?
We've never talked about Will before.
This is very
weird. Just, I'm on record from last week and even from when we were talking about Bachelorette on BIP and in text as extremely hating Peter. Hating the sight of Peter since
because
the moment I
like
knew
Light
he existed. Right. Yes, he is my sworn enemy. I hate Peter. Okay. I have a lot of other reasons to dislike Peter, though. Sometimes I have a slight soft spot for some of his, like, extreme Jersey Shore kind of stuff, because I did literally grow up with people who, like, when he calls Will a stunod, I did laugh out loud.
What does that mean?
Like, oh my god, all right, so it's Italian for, like, idiot, dumb person.
Oh.
Yeah,
but
he's
it's
like,
not,
oh, you're such a stunod.
The way he said it is not an Italian. Like, I'm like, what? I didn't think I heard right, but I'm glad that I did. And it's
you
just
did.
Their Italian-American way, their counterfeit Italian way of saying it.
Basically, so, yeah. And I've absolutely heard people, like, say that before, too. I was waiting for him to pull out the move. You know the one, maybe this is just an Italian-American and New Yorker move or not. I don't know if real Italians actually do this. But
no,
where they,
the
like,
answers, no.
The thing where they look like they're scratching their chin and it's supposed to mean, like, F you.
Oh, well, you know what? That might be the only carryover because everything else is no. Yeah, maybe. Craig, I always identify with someone who genuinely wants to call out someone who they think is inauthentic. Because as I've said many times, that would be me. So okay. Will.
All right. So you like Will because he's bashing Peter because he's inauthentic. And Caitlin likes Will simply because he's bashing Peter and Peter is her arch nemesis. Mm-hmm. So that's why you two are like team Will here.
Well, yeah. Also, you know, Michelle kind of said it herself. She said, you can tell a lot about a person, paraphrasing, by how they play musical chairs. And I hate cheaters like that.
I like cheaters.
Also agree. You love library-hating pizza-preneur cheaters.
No.
Okay.
No, Craig, I don't have any
love how we met, if you agreed with hating libraries, I would be very disappointed in you.
You know, did I ask you this question? So we met, Caitlin and I met in a library on a college campus for an event, right?
Yeah.
And at that event, I have this very clear memory. This is probably not funny or anything, but I went down to the front of the library where every library has this, where there's like newspapers stacked up of all these different newspapers from around the country. The you know what I'm talking about?
In them, yeah. With a teacher's ruler in them.
Yeah, usually these ones were just stacked there, like there were 10 of each or something. So I went up to the person. I'm like, can I just take these? Can I just take one? Why is there 10 of the same one? Can I just take one with me? And they didn't know if I could take a newspaper with me. So I started asking around. So I probably asked you, Caitlin, are the newspapers for taking? I didn't know what the etiquette was. I really wanted to take this one newspaper from Ohio or something with me, but I couldn't get a straight answer on whether or not. It seemed like they have a lot of newspapers if you weren't allowed to take them.
All right. I don't remember seeing the stacks of these newspapers, but I would say that it is uncommon. Most libraries I've been into or libraries that I've worked in will have them on the rulers, like EZR was saying, like the little, like the rod kind of thing.
Yeah.
And they only have like one copy and you're not supposed to take it. That's so you don't take it. It's for like internal use.
Yeah. It was great. They had all these Ohio newspapers, like probably every newspaper in Ohio they had there live, like right up to date, you know, the day
Craig doesn't get out much. I need the Ohio paper. You could just go to like a newsstand.
Well, it was like a big deal. It was like an election year.
Instead of you're asking, that's more of an interruption.
It was either an election year or something very close to an election year. I remember there's a lot going on in Ohio politics.
I'm trying to remember, maybe it was a midterm election year, because I feel like the actual presidential year was too long ago.
Right. Yeah.
Maybe it was the midterm year. Yeah, you could have gone down to the Drug Mart and bought it there.
Right.
Do you know when I went down to that Drug Mart? Paper, though.
Yeah, no, I know what you're talking about. There was a place like called Drugs.
Yeah, it's called like Drug Mart, and it's their like CVS kind of thing. But one of the days I walked down there to get something, I can't remember what, I saw a horse-drawn buggy out front. Oh. And I was like, well, you don't see that every day. But apparently you do in this part of Ohio, because I posted
about it. I mean, it's Worcester. We can say where we were.
Yeah, it was in Worcester. And somebody I know was like, oh, yeah, I used to work in Worcester. I've seen that all the time. And I was like, oh, all right.
Yeah, but easier. This CVS like establishment was literally called like Drugs Here. Come get your drugs.
That's what you kids are saying.
Drugs are us.
Sorry,
small town.
Well, then it was like a row of every chain fast food restaurant you can imagine down this one strip.
Yeah, and, but they did have that good sandwich place. Everyone loved the sandwich place.
Yeah, maybe. I don't know if I...
you were at the sandwich place, Craig. I remember meeting you there.
Oh, all right. Well, then I'm sure it was good. Okay, so where were we? So we're talking about Peter.
So now Romeo is the... I want to know what this guy does so bad. Like, he's a mathematician, graduated from Harvard, but what does he do? And actually, two of my best friends graduated as math majors, and they do not do that for a living, because it says underneath his bio, mathematician. So I'm like, what do you do? Right?
Math.
What? Where? Applied
math? You know, in England, they call it maths.
Ugh, maths. FS.
No, so M-A-T-H-S.
They invented the damn language, and they can't say it right. No, they say M-A-F-S.
Right, but it's spelled M-A-T-H-S.
Yes. I looked it up. Yes, I can tell you Craig. What his job is, if you want to know.
Okay.
Well, hold on. Do you know why it's maths?
Mathematics, plural.
Because it's physics, not physic. Physics is plural.
I thought we were talking
maths
about how
plural.
It's pronounced, not how, not
it's
like...
plural, that's all.
Okay, yeah, okay.
Yeah, if depending on where you're from in the country, you probably say maths.
Yeah. Anyway... What does he do with this degree?
His full name is Romeo Alexander. He's a pretty good name, actually. He is a data scientist at a company called Ramp.
There you go. That's doing math.
That is doing math.
He's probably doing math there. Yeah.
Math, yeah.
Good for math. Him, then. Okay. What
kind of name is Romeo? Seriously, though. Let's talk about that.
What are you
a
talking
good
about?
Name. Great name.
They were like... They were like 12-year-olds in love, so they found some poison. Who would give them poison, first of all? And then they drink the poison because they can't be with each other, and they die. Well, actually, one of them wakes up, thinks the other person is dead, so drinks the poison, dies. And then the other one wakes up, sees that they're dead, and drinks the poison and dies. You want to name your kid after that?
Well, you know, he might not be named after the Shakespeare character because it is an Italian name that exists. It's just like, you know, it's not the only thing, it's the most famous thing, but I think it's a cute name. I like it.
All right, people are always going to think of Romeo and Juliet, though. It's inextricably linked.
Exactly, but who cares? It's cute.
Yeah, I know like 5 Romeos under the age of 10. 5.
No, you don't.
Yes, I do. 5. I'm serious. I know.
Okay, so hold back the podcast up.
Yes,
you know, right.
That's
now.
Very common name right now.
EZR knows 5 name. Kids named Romeo?
Yep. There's one in my kid's class.
What?
There's one that's a neighbor. I'll tell you all of them. There's one on the soccer team. There's one that's a neighbor. There's one that's a neighbor of a friend of mine. That's 3. There's one in my kid's class. And I knew one at like a library, you know, that we would go to all the time. 5. That's a lot of people named Romeo. I mean, I'm saying it's a very popular name right now. When he was growing up, it was a little bit less popular, but it was getting there. You know, all these, I could tell you the like shift, the cultural shift into these names pretty good. And, you know, you're starting to see less because of the demographics we have here, although men are different because they tend to pick older men for the bachelorette. They're starting to... You will see a lot more of the names we see now for the younger contestants and for the women on The Bachelor than, like, right now, we will see, of course, a lot of Brandons, a lot of Connors. I'm guessing we're going to see some Sawyers coming up very soon. I could tell you so many. Oh, my gosh. Like, you know, the crop of Schaefers. They'll be, like, last names coming as first names are coming right up.
Oh my God. I've never met a Schaefer.
You
will see them.
Do you think the people, the parents that name their kid Romeo, do you think they really understand what that story is about and how it ends and all that?
Yeah.
Or is it just like, they love each other?
They think it's cute. They think what Caitlin just said. It's cute.
Just a cute name. It doesn't necessarily matter that it was a story about teenagers like dying for nothing, you know? Anyway, he's in his early 30s, so he lived through the dangerous period for his name.
Okay. All right.
It's not a curse. It's a...
Yeah. Those it are early tween years.
And you're named Romeo. Like, you're all good.
What was I going to say? So, right. So, in my estimation, the, like, variations on names... Not that this needs to go into this, but, you know... The name used to be Brandon, and then we've seen Brendans. And that seems a little late for me. Like, I feel like we should have already seen a lot of Brandans and Brendan, like what we're seeing with that one guy. So, I don't know. I'm just interested in the waves that are coming towards The Bachelor, especially the men. Because men, people who name boys tend to go a little bit more what is acceptable, but still they consider weird, like Ryder and Gunner and Hunter. Like, I feel like those are coming up.
Gunner.
What, Remington, that's a girl.
Well, there's Army Hammer. Don't forget him.
Well, yeah.
The Hammer fortune. Well,
his that guy's full name is Armand. So,
oh, is it? Oh,
Army is a nickname.
I didn't know that.
Yep. Well, all right, so I have an interesting name thing, EZR, about the Brendan versus Brendan thing, which is that, I don't know if you'll find this interesting, but I do. So pronounced basically the same, but spelled differently, right? Brendan, with the A-N at the end, is the Irish version, and Brandon, O-N, is the anglicized version of the name.
So
well, you're a bit of an Anglophile, right?
So, our version is wrong.
Our more popular version is, I would say, yeah, it's like when, well, I guess you see this with a lot of names, right? That, like, it was more popular in a different language or a different culture, and then it gets, like, an anglicized spelling and pronunciation. Well, I mean, like, my name's an example. I use the anglicized pronunciation for my Irish name. Right. So I feel like that's super common, but yes, I would say Brandon is probably the, you know, it's like the, you're an Anglophile version.
Yes.
And Brendan is the, like, and true Irish thing.
And I bet no Brendan ever gets asked that. Did you mean to do the actual, like, English version? You know, so
probably
I don't think it's fair to like question. Because, you know, if I name my kid something, I am looking that up to make sure there's no weird connotation. But with, you know, I can imagine a lot of people not doing that, especially where did that name come from? You know, what is the etymology and how far back does it go? And what are the variations in other country, in other times and in other languages? Anyway, okay, now that you're we're talking about Brendan. This guy's name is actually his name is actually Brandon, right?
Yes.
Oh,
it's
my God.
The guy on the group date is Brandon, like O-N.
Brandon.
Yeah, Brandon.
Okay, good. Group date Rose. Now, here is him. Here is them two kind of having a back and forth where he is. They're talking and they're flirting. This is what we're supposed to gather from this.
I did fail a lot today. But I'm always going to try for you, and I'm always going to do my best. And I know, like, just in life in general, like, I want you to know I'm always going to pick myself back up for you and learn from my lessons and just keep moving forward. So
I like that.
Yeah.
What are you thinking? You're staring deep into my soul.
I'm just trying to remember every single part of you.
What were you talking about?
No, just every single part of you. Just so I can go home and have a dream about you and wake up and realize my dream girl is real.
That was terrible.
That was awful.
Terrible.
That was from the heart. That was genuine.
Was it?
Yeah.
Let's make out.
You, like, read that off of a...
Yes.
What, like, Craig, a magazine or something like that? Oh, my gosh. You're, I guess, like, I'm just corny. I'm an old soul. Like, I got...
that one up on the internet.
Like, right before I got here.
I can't believe Craig isn't mad that this is going.
Oh, how to get girls 101?
Yeah.
That was it.
Oh,
cut it off.
I'm
going
to say anything corny to you again. You know, I'm just going to get roasted. Yeah, that's all I want. You have a beautiful smile.
We're going to make out. Yeah.
Yeah, that cracked me up because I could tell from watching it the moment that she asked him, like, you know, like, what are you staring at? What are you thinking about? That she just wanted him to, like, make the move to kiss her, right? Like, she was, like, ready. And then he just goes off in this corny-ass bullshit.
He did not want to kiss her. I mean, I don't see him interested. And so this is what's so weird to me is that last week I was confused whether Joe was pushed ahead by the producers, because I'm imagining her as being someone who doesn't take crap. And if you ghosted her, goodbye. And that would make total sense to me. In my view, I hope she's keeping Joe around to humiliate him later. but now that this happened with Brandon, maybe she likes being sweet talked by these people that maybe would normally reject her, or she assumes would normally reject her. I mean, again, I hope is to humiliate them at one point. But I don't, if someone isn't interested in you and they're kind of being forced by social pressures to make out with you or to like court you, that is, you feel that, right? That's like middle school when somebody pushes two people together. You guys need to date. And then, you know, that ringleader girl, of course, forces these two poor souls to court. And it's embarrassing and it's cringy. And that's kind of how, I don't know what's going on here. I don't know. I don't see his interest. Craig, do you? You are a man.
Yeah, I guess I agree with you on that.
Oh, yeah. Huh. I don't think I agree with you. Because
tables have turned.
Yeah, I don't necessarily see it as a sign that he just like did not want to kiss her. I think I saw it more as a sign that he is just like really awkward, that he doesn't have good game, you know?
Oh, look,
he was spitting game.
This guy looks...
Well, the bad game, right? Like, no, the thing he said to her is cheesy. Like, that's dumb. That's stupid game.
This is a podcast, so it's very hard to show. But if you guys could just watch this clip and watch her give him the go-ahead eyes, and he's kind of doing the slaying back, I'm not very interested, I'm trying to keep this going slowly... I felt like there was a lot of body language going on there, and even it at some point turns into words, because she does say like, "What are you thinking right now?" As in, you know, come get me. He's not interested. He's not having it. I don't see it like at all. And the fact that she gave him the group rose even makes me more conscious that he is like not, you know, she's not aware, or he's not, you know, there's like, I feel like she's chasing these men that, I mean, my number one clue was that she got ghosted and she kept that guy around, right? I'm bouncing off
Joe.
Of that. Yeah.
Well, not but, just that, Joe. But she really likes Joe.
Right, right. And that is my like second kind of piece of evidence for what I'm saying about Brandon, though. When she's with Joe, she like gives him the finger of like, you know, like the come here finger, she keeps bringing him closer. Same thing with the body language. Like, it's all her. None of it is these two guys interested. And so I have like really, really big reservations about where she's, you know, if she was my friend and I was watching this, I'd be like, dude, abort mission. Let's go. Like, these two guys are trouble. They're not interested.
Well, I feel like we did learn a lot more about why she might be so into Joe, because he is 2011's Minnesota Mr. Basketball.
Yeah. And
so I can chime in with a little bit of Midwestern trivia here. Those are a big deal, getting called.
Yeah.
There's like it Mr. sounded Indiana, like Mr. Iowa.
He's
Mr.
like a
Minnesota.
State celebrity, right? Yeah. And she grew up there. So she absolutely would have known about this guy. But also, the very same year, she was the runner-up for Minnesota Miss Basketball.
Right.
Which also made me be like, come on, this guy ghosted her when, like, he must have been aware of her when they were both in high school, if they're both being touted as, like, some of the best players in the state. But on the other hand, he is a man, and men are notorious for not watching women's sports. So...
Well, okay, but... That my issue isn't with her. Like, I understand that she's interested in both these men. But what I'm saying is that they are not interested in her at all. And not, you know, to like kind of put a finer point on that, men do not care if you have the same interests as them. Women do care. You know, she cares that he is from the same state and that they were like, you know, gender equals in their basketball competition, and they both love watching basketball, living basketball. She really cares about that. I would too if that was my life, right? Or whatever I'm interested in. Men don't care that you don't care about their lives. Like, they're like, yeah, I do this and you do that. Go on with your life. So,
yeah.
I care.
Maybe you care, but generally men do not care, right, Craig? Or is that
no.
not true? You're serious?
Men have feelings too, Yadira.
That's not what I'm saying.
I think that's what you're saying.
Do men care that the girl will, if they are not that attracted to them, will they care that they share the same interest?
Well, you're asking two different things there.
Well, this is who I'm talking about. This is not a hypothetical. This is Michelle and Joe. She seems very interested in him.
If the guy's not that into the girl, it's no difference than if the girl's not that into the guy.
But the thing is, if a girl is not that interested in a guy, but she sees that they share something that is very like strong interest that she has, she might like him more. But that's not true in the reverse, for the most part, right? That's what we're seeing here.
I think he's too far down the rabbit hole here.
Well, he's never saying to her, wow, this. She keeps saying that. She's like, we have so much in common. And everyone keeps saying that. Joe doesn't care. He's not like, he only uses it. He doesn't say it, like, to her for any kind of connection building.
Right. Yeah, I see what you're saying. To me, finding out that he had gotten this, like, state title sort of thing made sense to me why she would be so willing to forgive him. Because to her, this is somebody who, like, she has been aware of his presence as a good basketball player since high school. So she slid into his DMs being like, oh, he's also cute.
Right.
And I know he's an excellent basketball player. And then he ignored her. And so she sort of has probably been thinking he's a cute basketball dude since high school. And so now it's like a deeply ingrained, you know what I mean? Like, it makes more sense to me even that she would be willing to forgive him the ghosting thing, because I feel like this is a guy where she's like, oh, we have so much in common. He's such a like amazing basketball player. He was Minnesota Mr. Basketball, you know? And he does not seem to necessarily be building on that bond as much. I guess there is that moment where, this is one of the things where I hate the producers for as well, where they let his mom call him to tell him that one of his coaches had died. Mm. And I'm like, come on, just don't do that. Like, it just annoyed me. The producers are like, oh yeah, we'll give him a phone for him to get sad news.
Right.
I mean, they're trying to give this guy, who in my eyes is a villain, not a villain to the other men, but a villain to
Joe or Brandon.
Joe. They're trying to give Joe a personality, because I think to me, and maybe to a lot of other women, he is seen badly. I think they're doing this purposefully to give him this kind of edit. Cause I don't know, maybe I thought it was a little bit much. Like, I'm like, is that really important to any kind of love story right now? I didn't understand it at all.
Wanted to give him, I'm assuming what happens if your family wants to get a hold of you when you're on this show is like, they have something where they can communicate with a producer in case an actual emergency came up.
Yeah,
and that they must have flagged, like, well, we'd like to tell him this. And the producer decided to let it go through to both, like, give him some storyline that a sad thing happened, but then to also give him a sad story to tell Michelle to bond with her over. Because especially when it's the basketball coach and you know how much basketball means to her, that you know she's going to automatically identify with him being like, oh, this was so sad for me because somebody was like a mentor to me. And she's like, oh, that's how I feel about my coaches, you know?
Yeah.
So what you're saying
that's fine, but
the show murdered the basketball coach.
Well, look, I'm not... I don't care about these kinds of pseudo sob stories that, or even, you know, kind of weird attempts at making the date make sense, because then he does this thing that I hate that they do in reality TV and that they do in, you know, movies too. I needed this release. And so since my coach died, I needed to play basketball on my date.
To release those feelings.
That makes zero sense. But whatever, they wanted to, like, you know, tie up, like, tie up all the loose ends of whatever. Anyways, my point of starting this with Brandon and Joe is that I'm feeling like she is trying too hard for these men when she's the Bachelorette. And I tend to not like seasons like this because she can't
Greg,
chasing these people down.
Your long lost love, Greg, got away.
No, that makes no sense. because they're boring seasons because the whole point is we're supposed to see these people be heartbroken over someone. Mm-hmm. So you're supposed to see the contestants be heartbroken over the lead. And her chasing men down that she's not right for or that aren't interested in her
isn't
setting that up, right?
Yeah, it makes sense.
Anyway.
I think we're pretty early and it does seem like there are other men who are in the group of people she's interested in who seem to actually be interested in her, who she is not like the more interested party.
Well, I mean, what I'm saying is that she's very interested in these two men that think that they are far and above her. And that's kind of what I was saying, you know, with the Blake Katie season. I'm saying it with the Becca season. I'm saying with the Blake Katie breakup is that you guys were like, I'm going to, you know, they're going all the way. And I'm like, no, they're not. They're going to break up really fast because she will come to her senses so fast.
About that on air?
No, we haven't talked about Blake and Katie breaking up on air.
But they did it. I'm tying it all together because I think this is the groundwork.
This is a grand unified theory of Bachelor Cinematic Universe.
Yeah, well, you know, you can't... You gotta, like, listen to your instincts.
I thought you were going to say listen to your heart.
No. You got when you're on these shows, there's got to be a good balance. And you have to do... This is why it's so hard to come off as likable. It's hard for me to watch like her do this, but we'll see. It's still like in the early phases.
Yeah. We'll see how this pans out. I will say one thing that came to mind with the Katie Blake breakup is that, I mean, I guess in the end, it probably is never a good idea to settle for someone because it really seemed like when they had that date after her Greg breakup and he was like, I'm in love with you. And she's like, I'm absolutely in love with you too. You know, it's like, it seemed like she was sort of clinging on to like, well, this guy wants me and I like him. Yeah. So let's just go for it. Right.
Yeah. And we did a whole podcast season.
Yeah. And so I feel like, you know, this really pans out that it turns out that doing that is not necessarily a good relationship strategy because just being like, well, I'll be with this person because they seem to be into me. And I'm hurting from another rejection. And like, they're cute or whatever. I'll just roll with this. It's like, yeah, that's not actually a person you should get engaged to because that's not likely to succeed.
Yeah, well, that's what I was saying last Bachelorette season. You know, I was telling you guys, this is not going to last for the reasons I stated, which were those. And you guys were like, it could go all the way because
listen, we wanted to believe.
Yeah, and I'm telling you, it's just not, you know, there's too much, the cameras turn off and reality sets in and you reset, which is what I was saying, you reset back to, you know, you're no longer in depressive, I need someone to like me mode. You are now back and you're like, holy crap, this guy, as Craig would say, is what do you call his beard? Like just a zero or what?
Oh.
Just that he's just not just, yeah. I mean, good. You know what I like?
Coming out of the shower, he's not looking all that handsome.
You
going
know
into the shower.
Great about Blake, though. I don't know what that means.
Yeah, I don't know what the going into the shower, coming out of the shower, not looking at.
I don't know.
When he had the breakup, right? And I guess him and Katie simultaneously posted the same Instagram caption, different pictures, but his story was to donate to like a wildlife fund. Now there's a lot wrong with like NGOs and all this stuff. Okay. But at least there's attention being brought. I don't know. I'm still in the attention being brought phase to Bachelor fans. So good for him. That's positive message to me. The broken relationship is everything. Greg, humiliation is all worth it for that. Good for Blake. On to Jamie.
Did you see how she did a stand-up comedy routine? Did you see that?
I heard she was doing it, but I didn't see it.
Katie?
I read the transcript. It was
doing some stand up now.
Yeah, she's doing stand up.
Sounds bad. Oh, was... that there's another rebound thing. Don't do it, people. Stand up is the worst way to suffer through a
like a breakup just happened. I guess I better book a stand up set.
Oh my goodness. Go ahead. What was the funniest? Give us
the punchlines didn't really have any meat to them. There was
she's not funny, weird.
But yeah. she's like, is anyone masturbating more because you're on Zoom and not actually in the office? Like, that was the setup for one of the jokes.
Katie, no, that's like a real problem. People were doing that on Zoom meetings, and you shouldn't do it on a work call. It's just not a place for that.
What the hell is wrong with her? That's disgusting. That's not okay. That's not okay to, like,
Well, Amy Schumer might be able to pull it off, but I don't remember what the punchline was, though. I don't think it was one.
Okay, Jamie. No, that sounds really cringy. She goes from cringe to like worse cringe instead of recuperating. It's not good.
Well, just to correct the record, my stance on Blake and Katie was that they were going to last a long time out of spite.
Sex.
Because I thought everyone's saying that they're not gonna make it, so they're gonna make it. So like it's like them versus the world.
That was what I said. That's your argument, but I think what maybe we're witnessing here is that maybe these two people are just not very spiteful, and that's why that angle
didn't
work out.
Yeah, it could be. Yeah, maybe Blake's too oblivious to be spiteful.
I thought there was I thought your guys' arguments came out to them both being kind of nymphomaniacs who could make it work long enough.
I don't remember saying that.
I thought they might be suited together, possibly because they both do love to talk about sex like a lot. They just love discussing it so much, and because they did seem like they maybe had similar senses of humor, so that's like a thing. If you click in that way, that potentially could work. But yeah, I think it just came down to the stuff that you were saying, Yuzier, that like she picked him in a moment of being like, I want somebody who wants me, and it doesn't matter if maybe
and he doesn't look good getting in our shower.
You gotta reach for something better there, Craig.
Have you ever stayed at the Standard, EZR?
Yeah, actually, I have. The one on Sunset, not the one on Downtown.
Oh, okay.
But I have gone to the pool there a few times, the one in Downtown.
So, you know, the showers are in the middle of the room with glass walls, right?
They're not in the middle of the room on the other one, no. But they are glass.
They're glass,
but they're like retro. Well, the one I went to was like retro, like one of those old tube TVs, and like shag carpeting and
But the point is that you can watch the person's shower.
Okay.
I don't like when places do that. That's not for viewing.
This is a sexy, cool place where they have like mermaids in the front.
I've been to places where, well, you know what's the worst? Is when you go to a place like that where it's like showers totally visible, but you're actually like traveling with friends and you're staying in the same hotel room, and then that happens. And
You might not stay at the Standard.
This has happened to me once where it was like a group of platonic friends in a hotel room, and we got the weird visible bathroom thing, and we're like, well, this is weird for us.
You know, funny story about the Standard Downtown, EZR. So the Standard Downtown, Caitlin, is like a hot spot. Like it has a rooftop bar that's like very popular.
All right, are rooftop bars like not common in LA?
No, they are
common.
Okay,
every single place has one.
Everywhere here.
I think they're less common downtown.
I think what happened was that it was one of the first.
Yeah.
Because it was when it was gentrifying. Before that.
Yeah.
It was just wasn't gentrified. Uh-huh.
So this is a place you can go. It's expensive, of course, but you can go on any given night and it'll be busy. Like if you're really looking for a crowd, this is where you want to go.
Huh.
Well, I flew in with my partner at the time, and she and I stayed at the Standard, and it was nighttime, and we were like, you know what? We want to go in the pool, but the pool is in the middle of the bar. So we said, screw it. So we just put on our suits and we went at like 9 o'clock at night in the middle of the bar and went in the pool. It was cool.
Yeah. I mean,
why are you telling the story?
I would go to the pool at any time of the day or night. I love going to a pool.
Yeah.
Wait, there you go. What's the point of this story?
We went in the pool and the standard.
What does that
during...
to do with Blake and Katie or Jamie or Joe or Brandon?
It has nothing to do with it,
Romeo.
But I thought you might appreciate
right,
the story.
I think I know.
Having been to the standard.
Where Craig was going with this is that his comment on somebody who doesn't look good coming in and out of the shower
is he
was thinking of the standard's totally visible shower.
Yes.
Oh.
You want to look good going in and out of the shower. If you don't, then that's a big deal breaker.
That's like a very high bar to clear.
Well, then don't stay at the standard. And don't go into the pool at 9 o'clock at night.
You're like, this is better, because that took a long time to get there, and you couldn't even connect it. I was like, what's going on here?
Would you go into the pool at 9 o'clock at night, the standard, on like a Friday night?
Yeah, I have on a Sunday, because we used to all meet out there, and then we used to just jump in the pool, you know, like it was like a pool time fun.
It was like Sunday fun
thing.
Day.
Yeah. But
the
like
one downtown?
Yeah.
Huh. It must have been a cover to get in.
I don't remember. It was like there was a reason we went Sunday. I think it's because there wasn't.
I see.
Anyway, or maybe there was.
Still $25 mimosas.
Well, not if you do it the... Anyway. Okay. Transition.
Wait, what's your secret? You sneak in the alcohol and order the orange juice?
Craig.
Yes, Craig. That's, everyone knew what the secret was.
What's the secret to getting cheap alcohol?
Tony, they let you in with backpacks? See, it must be really nice.
Yes, they did, because you had to change.
Right.
Yeah.
Yeah, so you need like a bag with your stuff in it.
Yeah, there was even lockers, if I remember correctly, or somewhere to like...
No.
There wasn't. Yes, something where I could put my backpack down. Because I remember very clearly being like, here's my backpack, and it had...
No, the standard downtown does not have lockers in the bathroom. In fact...
It has
the bathroom
that's like a
as a center downtown is very cool because you wash your hands in the same sink as the women's bathroom.
Okay, I know what you're talking about because there's a steakhouse in D.C. where the sink is shared between the two bathrooms. And this cracked me up because this is where my ex's sister had like her engagement dinner. And I was looking at the Google reviews before I went to be like, what's this place like? And it's like a very fancy steakhouse that politicians like to hang out. But then every single review mentioned the bathroom was like, it's fun and unexpected, sexy and cool because you ship sinks. And I was just like, what?
what the heck? I see that a lot. There's a lot of places like that.
For the shared sink thing. And it was so wild to me.
You're talking about a trough.
The standard.
It was like a trough. That went across and it like went underneath. So it's like a little gap in the wall where it could go through. And you can like put your hand through it or something, I guess, if you wanted to, but you can't really see over to the other side.
I feel like I see that all the time. Never enough to comment on it, but I see it all the time.
I'm going to send a screenshot of these bathroom reviews.
Well, you're trying to gaslight us that there's lockers in the bathroom at the standard. There isn't.
Do you don't know what gaslighting means still? Still? I am so confused that you don't understand what it means. Okay. Tony Danza, transition into Jamie's sob story, please. And by Tony Danza transition, I mean like it goes from like seriously blah 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 conversation to something really serious.
Yeah, it's pretty serious. First, maybe we should mention, before the date even starts, Jamie rubs the men the wrong way because he gets the date card
I want to check her out for me.
Yeah, and I was like, not necessarily that's wrong, right?
Wait. Check her out for me?
Yeah, like he was saying, I want to make sure that she's a good fit for me. I'm not trying to impress her. She's trying to
fly to third world countries on a moment's notice.
That was the weirdest part, is I was like, sorry, what? Because
he said that?
Yes, yeah. He said, in his context of being like, you know, I got to see if she's going to fit into my lifestyle. She's a good fit for me. Because, you know, I just fly to a lot of third world countries at the drop of the hat by myself all the time. Some people can't hang with that. And I was like, wait, what?
It's just like, what? Come again?
Yeah, and all the men were just kind of like looking at each other like, okay. Well, sure, I guess.
I went over his. I went over a few men's bios for the first time, for checking up on all the things we've heard of around. And yeah, that's what his bio says, that he went up to the kiosk or whatever at the airport and said, "Send me somewhere." And then he went to Uruguay, and then he went to Ecuador just to try the chocolate.
Cool.
So, calling it a third world country, it kind of implies the attitude you're going in with.
Yes. He's the specific phrasing was distasteful.
Uruguay, first off, is one of the richest nations, and it's like most equitable rich nations in South America. As kind of, like Costa Rica, Uruguay, Ecuador, those are pretty like okay nation. Like they're not, you're not going to see this huge
gap. He's not going into like a war zone or... Yeah, it was a weird... First of all, like, the way he had said it, I totally get why this rubbed people the wrong way in the room and why it rubbed the viewers the wrong way, in that he is right that in, like, a real-world dating situation, you would both be wondering, like, is this person a good fit for me? Like, do we fit together, right? But in the world of a bachelor and bachelorette, that's not really what's happening. Like, you were trying to prove to them that you're the good fit for them, not the other way around. So that, first off, rubbed people the wrong way. But then when he just starts going on about how, like, this is the thing that, I guess, makes him think Michelle might not fit, or, like, other people have had a hard time dealing with his adventures to third world countries before. And it's like, okay, all of that was just a little weird. So the vibe with Jamie was a little weird from that moment. But then the date seems like it's going super well. So at first I was like, that moment was weird, but is he actually fine? Because it does seem like they're getting along really well. And then he does go into that very dark and depressing story about his mom. Man.
Second episode.
Oh. Well, this is like, there have been very few actual real sob stories.
Eating lipstick because you're an orphan in Russia.
You're right, that you're waiting to get like adopted. Then there's Jubilee, who was the last living member of her entire family. These are war-torn issue stories. And I think Jubilee was from a Caribbean country that also might have had some conflict in the recent past. Christina from Russia, also something to do with, I don't know if she was from the USSR.
She's the lipstick,
but I don't remember if, she's from a war-torn former USSR area. And then this is pretty bad as well. I mean, like, it has, it does, whenever it calls attention to the state of healthcare and support in a country, I think it really is, because if you're handling this and there's no, he told it like this, who knows what happened, but the material consequence is that his mother commits suicide. But it sounds like for 10 years, he was dealing with a lot of mental strain.
His mother, first of all, Jamie, it's completed suicide. That's the woke speak for it. Anyway, you're supposed to say someone completed suicide now. That's just the woke way of saying it.
Okay, but there's always a why. There's always a reason.
I don't know. I'm just pointing it out.
No, you
can't. Don't kill a messenger.
No. Wait a minute. Because if we're going to use it and you're saying it's correct.
I don't know. Correct,
I can tell you why, it's survivor now and not victim. But if you can't, I don't understand how that's woke.
I don't know. I just know. Okay. I know what I know. And that's it.
All right, Craig, I've looked this up because librarian habits, and the reason why some people are saying that this is, that you want to say completed instead of committed, is that, and this comes from Maine.gov, the term committed suicide implies a level of criminality, while completed suicide implies earlier attempts when there may have been none. Both terms, committed and completed, perpetuate the stigma associated with suicide and are strongly discouraged. So they're saying you should use neither of these.
What should you say?
Ooh, all right, hang on, I'm looking at this, because they have a whole list of which ones you shouldn't. It was like, don't use successful or failed. Okay, so does it actually say which
trigger
one
warning, by
use?
The way?
Yeah, yes.
Okay. did the suicide?
Okay, listen.
Let me compare this.
I'm just pointing out that the trauma that Jamie experienced is actually probably a lot worse than face value, because not only did his mom commit suicide, which she did, but she committed suicide after he left of taking care of her for 10 years.
Yeah.
Yeah.
That's got to be awful. It's like, okay, I'm going off to college. Bye.
How come you're saying commit?
Well, I don't know what else to say. We have no word.
I'm trying to look this up right now to be like, is there a better phrase?
I mean, if it doesn't flow, then it's really hard to incorporate if it really doesn't make that much of a difference. Okay. Yes. That is, and I feel like that.
Okay, I found the phrase.
Okay.
The Center for Suicide Prevention in Canada says that the Alberta Mental Health Board suggests using the phrase death by suicide, died by suicide, or just suicide instead of completed or committed. All
right. We're supposed to listen to Alberta, which is like destroying its own ecosystem.
Listen, I'm just telling you, it seemed like a reliable source. It's a government website.
You're saying that the verb is suicide.
Yeah, so they're saying you should use like his mother
suicided.
Died by suicide would be the phrase that you
I like the mom suicided. That's a good one.
I mean, I guess you could use that in here, but yeah, they're saying like death by suicide, died by suicide. So we'll say it because mom died by suicide.
There you go.
Okay.
Problem solved. Well, thank you, Caitlin.
Let's versus this to the typical sob stories, which always crack me up. My grandma died at 30. I'm serious. These have genuinely been used by people. Their grandma died.
Yeah. Well, the one that always really bothers me the most is when they're like, my parents got divorced and they're like, fine, but I'm broken now because my parents are. And it was like, what? No, a lot of people's parents are divorced. That's not. I just don't find it to be a convincing sob story. You know, I'm like, sure, sometimes there is a deeper tragedy going on there. But like, if your story is simply that, like, oh, I'm a broken person because my parents got divorced at some point, that always feels to me like a weird cop out of trying to have a sob story, but you don't actually have one.
Well, or that's the worst thing that's ever happened to them. And that shows how great their life is. And so it's like a humble brag / you know, it actually might have really affected them, which is like, oh, so your life's awesome. Well, good for you. okay. So having 10 years and probably before that of super traumatic, you know, parental units not being stable and you're taking care of them and who knows how much of it was on him or what. But of course he's massively insecure, you know, and everything you guys are saying about even before, well, because I didn't actually, like I said, I was kept getting interrupted watching the beginning, mm-hmm. where he's kind of, again, kind of bragging, like, well, she has to fit into my lifestyle. That's massive insecurity just flaunted out there. So when he, so then later on, right? So, okay, are we ready to talk about the story he told?
Yes, the casual and easy lying that he engaged in to many people.
So here is Jesse telling Martin about this, who I did not know his
name. Jamie telling Martin?
I wrote Jesse on all of these. Yes, it's Jamie.
I don't think there's no Jesse on this show.
No Jesse. He just keeps falling into that Jesse category. Sorry. Jamie telling Martin.
Uncle Jesse.
Who I did not know his name was Martin until I had to look him up.
Till this episode. Martin.
No, till I looked him up after.
Oh, wow. Well, yeah, like, during this episode.
Yeah, yeah.
They're like, oh, that's Michelle. She's the bachelorette. She's already booed up with a tall, light-skinned baller.
Okay.
I mean, for me personally, like,
did you kind of like forget about that piece of information, or you just like resurfaced?
I like the way he's like, you're lying, or
yeah, that was amazing. Martin's like, how come this didn't come up like on day one?
Yeah, it's a total questioning of whether that's true or not, which is hilarious because I think a lot of people would be like, Well, actually, most everyone he talks to kind of says, do you feel like that's true or is it true?
Yes, there's a lot of interesting reactions from the men he does talk to about this, which I guess is only a subset of them, where they're like, so do you feel like that's true? Is that like a problem for you? And every single time he's like, it's absolutely a problem for me. And they're all like, I mean, we kind of feel like it's not a problem.
Yeah. And so here's Jesse tell to Jamie, because I'm reading it off of this, telling the exact same line to Michelle, which is so funny. We should compare and contrast like the line itself, because why would you say it the exact same way? That is strange. Right? That's
yeah.
Strange.
There's an interesting phrasing going on here. Like, specifically, he has a friend in Minneapolis who says that she's already booed up with a light-skinned baller. That's the phrase that he keeps on using.
Yeah. If that didn't become a Twitter account immediately, I don't know why. Craig, get on that.
All right. Before I came here.
Oh, sorry. I was going to say, it's interesting to me, that phrase, right? He pops out with the phrase on the story immediately after a couple of guys are just like, wait, does she know Joe? Because, like, he's also from Minnesota and he's a basketball guy. And I think the thing that popped out to me during the basketball date, and maybe this is what some of the men saw on that and picked up on, is when the Joe's team was losing and she went up to them on the court to give them a pep talk and she, like, gave him a little shoulder massage and said, like, you know, you can do this. You're Mr. Basketball, basically. And I was like, just the comfortability of the phrasing would have made me be like, how often, like, they seem really cozy. You know, it probably would have popped up a little something. But so something like, maybe they know each other. And he's immediately comes out with this story that he'd never brought up before. And yeah. Guess who's a light-skinned baller who lives in Minneapolis? So it feels very calculated to make everyone be like, it's Joe. She's secretly dating Joe.
He's wildly jealous, and he tries to find a way to break him apart.
And... Well, do you think... Go ahead.
No, you know, and her definitely choosing him, you know, oh, the winning team and the MVP, you know, that's not okay. He didn't win.
Yeah.
It makes him a target.
But they didn't win. And it did make him a target. And I think also the fact that they could see her, like, obvious fondness for him made it seem very much. And yeah, and then, of course, that they're from the same city would automatically make you be like, wait a minute, maybe they know each other? But yeah, it just... The way this spun out from some of the men being like, maybe they know each other. I don't know. Maybe it's not that big a deal. And if they do, though, to then Jamie being like, comes out with this story that makes it sound like she was dating Joe and they were seen in a bar together and all of this it's kind of a wild jump that he makes.
Well, that was going to be my question. Do you think that Jamie was thinking of Joe during this whole thing, or that he actually heard a rumor, but it,
oh my god.
Oh, right. I think he was 100% thinking exactly Joe and he made this up.
Yeah, right. You can see the moment where he decides to make it up. You can see it in his face. This has been a very visual episode. I feel like I have to
element
keep
of
going
truth
back
then.
To
he
the tape.
He can't just come up with this out of nowhere.
No, like, what are you talking about?
Of truth.
It's actually perfect, but it's not perfect. That's the deal.
A producer had to, like, tip him off a little bit.
No,
like, maybe they knew each other.
Greg, you're a liar. No. You should know about this. you decide that a story fits conveniently. All of a sudden, you have some friends that go to a bar during COVID and see The Bachelorette, and it's an open secret that she is with someone already.
Yeah, but what are the odds that
exactly
what are the odds that Michelle actually had known Joe?
Well, see, the reason why I think he completely made this up is, first of all, he brings out this story not like at the very beginning. It's not somebody who's like, oh, I've heard this rumor, so like maybe that's somebody to be concerned about. He brings it up only when a couple of other men are just like, she seems awfully close with Joe, and he is from Minneapolis. Do you think maybe they've met before?
I don't know. Does she know him? There has to be a shred of support for that story. That's all I'm saying. Like, a friend must have actually seen something. A producer must have tipped him off or something. Joe must have said something.
I feel like they've never been in a bar together. Yes,
so it wasn't
Craig.
Joe, regardless, because she'd never met Joe in a bar before. Right.
Well, Craig, this is so leaps and bounds. Like, this is such a reach on my part. But I will reach here. I know a lot of traumatized 13-year-olds. And 13, 14, 12, 11 is an age where you really start to make up crazy lies. You know this, right? We all know this, right? I'm not picking on you, Craig, but I think it's a time when you make up crazy things. And because you're a kid and sometimes you're lying to other kids or you'll lie to adults and get away with it, you kind of can, like, oh, yeah, this is working. I'm smarter than everyone else. And he's a little bit, he's stunted. He is jealous out of his mind. You're telling me
that out of the blue, he came up with this lie that just happens to have a shred of truth to it.
I don't think there's a shred of truth to it.
There is a shred of truth to it. She DM'd with Joe years ago.
No, yes, that is not.
He didn't. That's not the same truth that he was trying. You know what I mean?
He had all that information before he made up the lie.
Yes.
He based his lie off of what he knew.
How did he know that Michelle and Joe had texted?
I don't think he did at that point. Like, that does not come into the... He's saying that Michelle and Joe, which he makes up on the spot, and that's why it's not very well thought out, are boyfriend and girlfriend before they go on the show.
But how could he attempt to throw
Michelle off her, men are talking. We don't think you're very sincere. Why are you paying attention to all the lies
in the world? He happens to come up with that one about that couple.
He sees that Joe actually is a front runner that she's super interested in.
I just don't see how it's possible without some.
So you fall for 11-year-old lies all the time. I came from the place of knowing that Joe lives in the same city. Therefore, is a possibility that they could have met before and other men were asking, they're both in the basketball scene of Minneapolis and she seems to really be into him. What if they had met before? And what if they did, and actually they were on a date and they like were doing a thing.
That's exactly the point, is that he's massively insecure. He's like out of his mind jealous. And so he makes up this lie that could be true. Who's your friend? Oh, you know, you don't know him. And we saw Michelle. She was out. I mean, as the bachelorette, she might have been out. And she kind of doesn't quite know what to say. It just seems that is so, it's rooted in some possibility. And that's why it's not a total crazy lie.
Well, he got damn lucky then. That's all.
He did. But he did it because even when he went to Michelle, he did not say, I saw this. I have it right here. He says, I kind of cut this out, actually. But he says, everyone's talking about it. It's him that's talking about it. He said it. He's taking off a life of its own. He's the one who's like trying to make sure everyone is grasping onto the story. So I'm not very against this guy because I really feel for someone who needs a lot of help. But at the same time, you should be smart enough to not make that lie up right in front of the camera.
He's gonna get caught in the next episode or two because specifically when he has that conversation with like three other men and Martin's one of them.
No.
What?
Spoiler alert.
No, this is in this episode.
Oh, okay.
So he has a conversation with these other men and Martin's there. And I can't remember who the two other guys were, but there were like four of them when Jamie first says, do you think that she knew Joe beforehand? And they're like, I don't know, maybe it's a possibility. And he's like, oh, does that bother you? And they're all kind of like, not really, because, even if she had met him before, we're all sort of on the even playing field in terms of being here and trying to date her now. So, like, you know, it's all just up to you to, like, have a better connection with her or not, you know? And he was like, it does bother me, though. Then when he tells Michelle the exact same sort of story of, like, men are talking about this, and she's like, well, does it upset you? Are you worried about it? And he's like, no, I'm not worried about that at all, but some guys are. And it was like, every man you spoke to said they were not worried about it, but that you said you were. So you exactly subverted that. And I was like, oh, buddy, that exact subversion is what's going to get you caught. Because the second somebody figures out that the only man who is super bothered about Joe is Jamie, they're going to find out that he's the guy who told Michelle.
Mm-hmm. This is the part, I mean, the only problem I really see here, honestly, everything else could be fair game. You could throw your fellow contestants off on, like, a scent. You know, you could trash talk Joe and everything else. But him lying after the first date to make her insecure is a huge red flag, right, for dating. And yes, that's the only part that I consider to be egregious, because there's a lot of games you have to play. So here's him kind of accusing Michelle. It's pretty
okay. Then we got to get to fashion. Mm.
So, before I came here, I happened to have a friend from Minneapolis, and actually happened to have ran into you. He was walking into a bar and he saw you walking out. He's like, wait, that girl looks kind of familiar. And goes back to go sit with his girlfriends. And they're like, oh, that's Michelle. She's the Bachelorette. He's like, no way. My boy's going on that show. And their response from there was, well, that's super interesting because she's already booed up. She's been out with a tall, light skinned baller.
He tells it a little bit differently, but it's the same exact wording. Anyways, okay, last thing. So, like I said, I feel like he's jealous. He's insecure. And after he throws Michelle off her emotional, got it together balance, he says this.
I feel good because I know there's nothing there with Joe and Michelle from before. I don't feel like I need to hear the words because look at her face and I can see it.
It's kind of the upper hand talk, you know, he's back up because he was able to destabilize her and their relationship.
And the other big red flag to me is, you know, when all the men are like, who could have told Michelle this thing, when actually none of us are really concerned and now she's very upset. And he's kind of milling around with everyone being like, I know, it's so unbelievable. And he does like a to-camera interview where he was just like, no, I have no problem lying to these people. Like, they don't need to know that I did that. And he wasn't even saying it in a, like, sometimes when people do this, it's because they're like, well, the lead needed to know something that was upsetting. And they don't need to know that I was the shitster. Right? And it was like, except that the thing he said is not accurate. You know what I mean? Like, it was like a complete lie that he told her to upset her, that had no basis in anyone else. And then he's being like, well, I feel great about this, you know, made me be like, oh, this guy, you can't date him because it's going to be a mess.
Anyways, I still think Joe, not so much Brandon, but I think Joe's a huge red flag still.
He's an F boy.
Yeah, I really, hey, really feel for Jamie.
If I was like, Mr. Minnesota basketball, I would be too.
I can't believe still you don't riding think he's lying though, Craig. You don't think he's lying? Like, I think you're mixed up with the actual facts, but let's just say what we say is true. Do you think he's lying?
Who?
Jamie.
Do I think he's lying? Yes.
Okay.
But but the only difference is I think there's a shred. He got a shred of truth to start the lie.
Well, I mean, he knows the basic facts and he's using that. And, you know, there was maybe he knew that she was at a bar and it's possible. It just seems like Martin said, his first reaction was perfect. Did you conveniently forget this until everyone started talking about it? Or, like, he has the perfect, like, This is a lie. Face.
Okay, we got to get to fashion.
Okay. So wait a minute. Lying. Good. Okay.
This is the fashion roundup. Craig likes to talk about what people are wearing.
Caitlin, I really want to know what you think of Tayshia's dress at the very end.
Yeah, you texted us about this.
What?
The like rose ceremony dress.
It's like black and it has like a flower, like a red flower printed on it.
I think it's a rose. I think a flower is a rose.
It's like a one-piece.
I would not have noticed it if I hadn't seen your text before I watched the episode.
Huh.
And I would say the only thing that really jumped out to me is that the sleeves are just like very big and puffy. So they take up a lot of space. Well,
EZR likes puffy sleeved.
I do. Stuff. I do love puffy sleeves.
So what do you think of the dress?
Me, I didn't even notice it. I didn't see your text ever. I gotta...
Craig, I don't read your text.
You're not the only one.
I didn't see it. I like puffy sleeves.
And was like, oh, I have to finish watching the episode, so I guess I'll see Tayshia's rose ceremony dress then. And I was like, oh, yeah, I mean, I guess it's kind of a loud pattern, and the sleeves are really big. But other than that, it wasn't. I was much more distracted about Michelle wore a lot of cute stuff this episode.
Yeah, Her fashion's really good right now.
She was looking great pretty much every time she was on screen. Like, the gown that she was wearing at the rose ceremony was really nice on her. It was like I don't know, fuchsia metallic maybe is what you'd call it, but like with a really low cut front and big slits on the legs.
Different in different lights, but it's a nice,
cool looking thing. Pretty on her. And she wore a lot of, for a lot of the other dates, she was wearing like athleisure.
Yeah, she was wearing like shorts and like a sports bra.
Athleisure, you know, athletic leisure wear.
Athleisure. Huh.
Craig, you got to pay attention to fashion trends.
No, she was wearing athleisure. Now that you
I hate
it.
That look, by the way. I don't know why that's okay.
It's like Lululemon, right?
LuLaRoe.
But she's doing it better those are different.
LuLaRoe
the stuff she was wearing.
Mid marketing.
Yeah,
but it's same stuff. Isn't leggings, it all like leggings and stuff like that?
It's Lululemon's like patterns. Yeah.
Yeah, but Lululemon is a whole.
Lululemon is more like yoga fashion, and LuLaRoe is more like I'm going to the grocery store leggings.
They're all yoga ish. That's why I get so annoyed, because I get that it's comfortable, but how far are we going with this? Says me.
Athleisure.
Yeah. Oh, I mean, I like it. I don't wear as much of it as I would if I were Michelle, but. She's wearing these cute, like, it's always a matching top and bottom this episode. So for, like, the one-on-one date she's wearing, it's, like, a little sports bra and then, like, bike shorts in a matching color. I don't remember, what color were those?
It's pink.
Yeah, like a hot pink sort of situation. And then for the basketball group date, she's wearing, it's a little, like, sports bra and leggings that match. And they're in this black and white pattern. And I thought that was a really cute look for, you know, these are athletic dates. So wear these nice athletic outfits.
Yeah, agree.
I have something. I put it under fashion, but it's more like makeup. And it's that I was trying to figure out if Rick, the guy who was in the table in the first episode, I was trying to figure out if he was wearing sparkly eyeshadow on some of this episode, because his eyelids were so sparkly. But I think... It is either, he either has Vaseline on them, which was a trick we used to do in middle school when you like weren't allowed to wear makeup, but it makes your eyelids look shiny.
Huh.
And so it's like, ooh, nice, sparkly. Or it was sweat that was making it sparkle.
Well, he's just a greasy guy.
They are in polished.
I think it might be sweat / grease, because the rest of his face started getting pretty sweaty later,
too.
Well,
they were all sweating all the time.
Oh, not as much as Rick, though. They didn't look like they were wearing sparkly eyeshadow, Craig.
Well, even if he was wearing eyeshadow, there's nothing wrong with that.
There's nothing wrong with that, but I was trying to figure out, like, is he trying to enhance his eyes with sparkles, or is this an unintentional thing? I think it's unintentional.
I'm pro men wearing makeup.
Yeah, but he's just greasy.
Some guys look good on it, but I think he's just greasy. I think that's what's happening. A lot of the men on the group date, for the classroom group date, they were all wearing these like loudly patterned open to their stomach shirts. That was like the look. Did you notice this?
I was focused on the three fifth graders that they got to act for them.
Yeah, those are actors.
That was funny.
Those are definitely actors. Those are not her students because they're in California, not Minnesota, right, to begin with. But
they
those
were
are
all like
actors.
Sassy, you know, and like had funny things to say and good posture. And it's like they're gonna be like on a Disney Channel show someday.
I didn't
notice the open shirts fashion that you mentioned.
Yeah, I think the note I wrote here is the men are all wearing Palm Springs fashion shirts.
Well, they are in Palm Springs. So there you go.
So yeah, that was the look. Like
the Coachella Valley.
What Will was wearing during the shouting argument with Peter was like kind of like a animal print collared shirt that was open to the chest. And Peter was wearing, it looked like it was like flamingos or something printed on a t-shirt. So they were all wearing Palm Springs looks.
Cool. Do you have a Palm Springs look, EZR? She's what? Muted. Oh, no.
Yeah. I don't know what you're saying.
Oh, I was just calling you out. I knew you were muted.
Well, I got nothing. No, I don't know.
Have you been to Palm Springs?
Yeah, in my life.
Yeah.
I mean, last time I was there was probably like 2 years ago or three.
Oh, really? That's more recent than I've been there.
Yeah. Well, I don't go for the same things everyone goes for, which I'm not sure what that is.
But golf.
Yeah. I don't like heat. But I do like that they went to Joshua Tree. That's fun. Although.
Oh, yeah. And the rock climbing date.
That sounds very gross at the time of year they probably went. Could have gone now. Now it's nice.
Yeah.
It was probably summer, tiki looks, right?
Yeah, gross. You could die.
In the tiki room in the tiki.
I thought you hated Disneyland.
I do.
All right.
I do, but I know you'd love it. See,
I haven't gone to Disneyland in the same amount of time I haven't gone to Palm Springs.
Well, they got rid of the year pass. What are you going to do?
No, they did not get rid of it. They reinstated it. It's not called Magic Key, and I am thinking about it.
It's now called Magic Key or it's not called Magic
Key? It's now called Magic Key.
And what's the difference between Magic Key and whatever it was before?
Now you have to make reservations ahead of time.
Oh.
But the blockout dates are pretty much the same, more or less, except for the reservation part. And, I mean, I think that's the only... Oh, it's definitely higher in price is the only real difference. But there is now a Southern California tier, which I'm very happy for, the lowest level tier... have a Southern California zip code. And this is great because there's a lot of people who had passes who did not live in the immediate area. And I am shocked that anyone would do this. I would never do this in my life. I don't know. People who live in Phoenix, people who live in San Francisco, fly down for it. I mean, horrible ecological footprint, right? Just to go to Disneyland for a few days and then go back up and they have the lowest level pass. Mm-hmm. Anyway, it's just, it's to me, it's like people in Arizona have no problem getting in their car and driving 8 hours. It's really strange to me. That is a...
Well, as somebody who doesn't like or support Disney, I look at somebody like you and I say, I can't believe anyone would get in their car and drive down the 5 and go to Disneyland for the day.
But I don't pay for parking. I bring my own food. What's the bad part about it?
They allow you to bring your own food in?
Yes.
That's cool.
It's not allowed.
How do you not pay for parking?
I have my ways.
Okay.
But the point is, it's like, what's wrong with it? I mean, I used to go 8 a.m., 7 a.m., whatever it is, until latest I would stay there ever would be 1 p.m. And from the time I am walking out the gate to the time I'm home would be like exactly 50 minutes, 5-0.
Right.
So to me, it was like a win-win. You know, I'd be home by 2, rest of my day, avoid the traffic. Like, I didn't see anything particularly wrong with it in terms of spending or anything. What do you object to? I'm curious.
I don't know, Disney.
Is it the fact that Disney is responsible for extending copyright?
Is that what you protest? That's a biggie, yeah.
Because, yeah, that's the one I don't like the mouse for.
But, like, we all, as you say often, we all do hypocritical things.
Of course.
So, you know, we have to pick our battles with, and I don't think that's why you don't like Disneyland.
Okay, we'll save it for another podcast. I think
that's why you decide to not like Disneyland.
I gotta go. So.
Well, no. Last thing. Answer that.
I don't have a good clean answer for you. So I need either A, time to think about it, or B, a extended period to try to explain myself. And I have no time for either right now.
Okay, fine.
All right. Craig won the argument.
What? Well, I mean, you could just give a one sentence thing. You don't want to think about it. You don't want to answer it. I just think that, you know, like you can't pick and choose your moral stances if it's just because of some other reason.
No, there's lots of reasons. Follow us on social media. Leave us a review on the Apple Podcast app, and we will see you next week.
Bye.